The question has been asked this feast numerous times, why we are here. But I have yet another question that I want to ask, and that is, how dedicated are we in the church? As we live our daily lives, being preoccupied in our jobs and activities with school and such, do we sometimes wonder if we are dedicated enough? Now, we are dedicated, of course, in our jobs and school and other activities that we are doing. But what I'm asking here is if we are dedicated enough in our spiritual lives and what we believe in. Are we dedicated in our studies? Are we dedicated in the work in the church? Now, there is no doubt that we do have a positive answer for that, since fruits have shown, as we have heard earlier, that the work has progressed, and we are here. We're all here at the feast, celebrating, aren't we? So why is it that we are here? It's dedication, and that is the title of the sermon. It's dedication to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, and of course all of other God's commanded holy days. And it's not only a dedication, but it's also a preparation that we have, since we have to make sure that we take time off of work, take time off of school. We have to have a feast site. We have to have responsibilities to fill when it comes to booking our rooms, when it comes to planning activities, when it comes to our travel plans, and also when it comes to saving up our money for a second tithe so we can use that at the feast, as we have heard also from Renee Messier about that. Because you don't want to wait till the last second, right? You have to have that preparation ahead of time to do all those things when we attend the feast. This is all pretty self-evident because we have been doing it for years, but there are some of us that are new here, and we are going through that. It takes months of preparation to prepare for the feast, especially if you're going overseas. You don't want to wait till the last second. Anyway, but it shows a process that we go through, and it shows our dedication to go forward. There is, of course, an easy approach, one I do not recommend. And that would just to simply say, no, I don't want to do all that. I don't want to take off time and work, especially I just got this new job. I don't want to take off work. They're not going to let me take off. Well, I'm not going to take off school. There's all these classes I got to take. I'm going to miss that. You know what a huge mistake, of course, that would be if we did that, because we will suffer the consequences. But not only that, we have God in our lives. So it makes it very easy to take time off and to prepare. Now, dedication is defined as being committed to a task or a purpose. It also means to devote time, as I mentioned, effort, or oneself to a particular task or purpose, again, devoting to a particular subject or a purpose. There are other several words that define dedication, some synonyms of that word. And that's what I'm going to go into more detail today. And I'm going to show how each of these words correlate with the word dedication, and especially how you would see how these all fit together in the Bible. The first word I'd like to start with is the word commit. And I have actually spoken on this subject before, in a lot more detail, but now I'm going to tie this in with the word dedication and what it means in the Bible. So how does commitment and how does dedication go hand in hand? And since we are celebrating the feast, which again shows dedication, we do thereby commit ourselves to the Lord. And because we do that, we do also show trust in the Lord. To start off, I'd like to go to Psalms chapter 37. in Psalms chapter 37 and verse 5, we read, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Now, since we did prepare to come to the feast here, we first of all committed our way to the Lord, and at the same time we trusted that everything was going to work out when we took time off and things like that. Let's also turn back a few pages to Psalms chapter 31 and verse 1, where David tells the Lord, when he's in a particular situation, as we are all in as well, in Psalm chapter 31, verse 1, "In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." Now, we also show a dedication to the work, as I have already mentioned. And God has indeed blessed us. And it's amazing how much we are, in fact, getting done, even with our limited resources. Now, if we compare ourselves to other churches, let's say when it comes to the numbers, we are limited resources. We do not have that many people here in this church. And look how much we are getting done, especially with this latest booklet we have here. That could be broken down into three booklets, really. It is our biggest one. And we continue to go forward with it. Harder and harder, and more work's being done. And it's going all over the world. However, to us, it may seem like a limited resource when we only have so few doing this. But to God, there are no limited resources. And he tells us in Proverbs 16, verse 3, that if we commit our works to the Lord, that our thoughts will be established. That's exactly right, because since we are putting, you know, our thoughts into the work, our thoughts are being established. God is with us, just like how this Bible has been written. God's thoughts have been in the minds of people writing this Bible, so we know what happened. The work in this church has certainly been established, but there is much more work to be done in the horizon. Especially with times that are happening right now, everything going on, we know we're getting closer and closer to the end time. But this also requires three things. It requires faith, requires patience, and again, it requires trust. Now, the second word of meaning is the word devote. As we already tie these two words together, commitment and dedication, we are also devoting ourselves to God. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 31. Starting in verse 4, and we'll read up to verse 12. And King Hezekiah is saying here in verse 4, Moreover, he commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute support for the priests and the Levites, that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. As soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of grain and wine, oil and honey, of all the produce of the field, and they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. The children of Israel and Judah who dwelt in the cities of Judah brought the tithe of oxen and sheep, also the tithe of the holy things which are consecrated to the Lord, their God they laid in heaps. Number 7th, in the third month they began laying them in heaps, and they finished in the 7th month. And when Hezekiah and the leaders came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Verse 9, and Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. Azariah, the chief priest from the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have plenty left, for the Lord has blessed his people. And what is left is the great abundance. Now Hezekiah commanded them to prepare rooms in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them. And verse 12, then they faithfully brought in the offerings, the tithes, and the dedicated things. Hananiah the Levite had charge of them, and Shemaiah's brother was next. So with all this, there's always faith to be brought up here. And of course, we're talking about tithing principle here, and we have heard about tithing already. But it does, in fact, bring forth blessings. And with that, it takes a certain type of devotion to God to do it correctly. With faith. Not grudgingly, with doubt. So we see here how devotion is very important as it ties in with the rest. Now the third word is sacrifice. Now the kind of sacrifice which I'm referring to here is the act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. Now if you think of it this way, it took a sacrifice to attend the feast. And what were we sacrificing? Well, we sacrificed going to work, sacrificed going to school, sacrificed all our other activities to attend the church or to attend the feast. But see, that's how the world views it. But that's not how we view this. By keeping God's law, we sacrifice what the world has to offer. By living God's way, we are living sacrifices. Please turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We prove to ourselves that what we're doing is right. Also testing ourselves to do what is right. And God does test us to see if what we are doing is right. Have you ever thought to ourselves what else could be considered a sacrifice? You know, what type of sacrifices that we commit here at the feast? Well, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15, starting with verse 15 and 16. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You know, by doing good and by sharing, we offer a sacrifice. Wow, why is that considered a sacrifice by doing those things? Because the world is not about that. The world is not about giving and sharing. The world's about getting. So the world's not going to sacrifice the giving and sharing. So that is why it is considered a sacrifice to the world, but it should be easy for us. Now the fourth word is the word consecrate. And I'm going to go back to the Day of Atonement, since this has to do more with that, but we should also think about it here during the feast. Now, when we observe a Day of Atonement, we did exactly that. We consecrated a fast. It was considered a sacrifice, since we had to sacrifice physical food and drink by fasting, replacing it with spiritual food and drink. Sacrifice and consecrate do go hand in hand as well as the other words. But here what we sacrificed during that time was something better. We sacrificed the physical for something better, the spiritual. The body can go without food for many, many days. And we have heard about that. Christ went without food for 40 days. He had God with him. We did a formal dedication to a religious purpose. Please turn to Joel. In Joel chapter 1, verse 14, just kind of reiterating what I've already said, but what it says in Scripture, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry out to the Lord. And also, skipping over to the chapter 2, verse 15, just to back it up, blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, and call a sacred assembly, which we are doing now. The fifth word is the word sanctify. And we have heard about that as well from Mr. Eric Rank, when we sanctified his name. But here we are also setting apart or declaring holy, setting apart from the world right now, as the rest of the world continues to live their lives, having no understanding as to what this time pictures and what we are celebrating. Since now, we are living a time free from sin. That's what it pictures. Keeping the feast here pictures this time where we're not going to have war and all those problems out there as we face right now in the world. So there's a foretaste of what's to come in the end time. Christ returns. Now as we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, we have to set aside every weight, the sin which easily ensnares us, and we have to run with the endurance to keep God's law during this time, which also pictures purification. I want to turn over to John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, verse 17 through 19, we read, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. We are set apart by the truth. And the Lord must sanctify us completely. You can also read that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now, I'm sure every time before we attend the feast, we are confronted by those who just do not understand what it is that we are doing. And I'm very vulnerable with that due to my job, because I see many people every day. And I tell them, I give them a heads up that I'll be going out of town. And then they just ask, oh, what is it that you're... where are you going? So for the sake of, you know, I really don't have a lot of time to talk, but for sake of argument, I just tell them, well, I'm using it as my vacation, pretty much. So then they ask me where I am going. And since I live in Southern California, where it's always hot, I tell them, well, I'm going to Tucson, Arizona. Yeah. So they look at me and like, oh, you know, you must have family there, because why else would you go to Tucson, Arizona? Well, then, you know, conversation then kind of picks up more, and I pretty much tell them, like, you know what, I'm attending a church convention. And that pretty much, most of the time, that just stops the conversation right there. But then, there are those people that would like to know a little bit more, and, you know, you never know what you're going to expect from people. And fortunately, I'm blessed enough where I didn't have to ever get into an argument, because I'm going to see those same people again tomorrow, or every time I, you know, especially when I come back. But same way, we are confronted, especially by those who love to argue, we have to be ready. We have to be ready to give a proper answer. So let us turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Verses 15 through 17. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Also meaning we have to treat God in our lives. Treat God holy, I mean, in our lives. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Verse 17, for it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. A good response is better than a bad response, obviously. So we have to be on top of it. We have to know what we're going to say when we are confronted by people. And we're going to be confronted more and more. So we have to watch out and we have to be ready. Now, the sixth word is the word give. Of course, this one is very important. This one definitely ties in very well during this time. The way of giving is very important in our physical as well as our spiritual lives. Here at the feast, we experience the way of give rather than the way of get. And yes, we have heard that many, many times. But that doesn't matter, because we're going to hear it many, many more times. Everyone here is in a giving attitude. And we reward ourselves with the money we have been saving from our second tithe, so we can share it here at the feast. We don't really think twice about wondering if we, you know, have any money to spend. And say if we haven't been tithing, obviously, but if we have enough, you know, we don't really think about that. You know, it's an awesome feeling, and it really makes us feel good when we're here, doesn't it? We know that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive, as it does say in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. But it shouldn't stop here at the feast. We should embrace the way of give in our lives, even after the feast. By living our lives in the way of give, an internal joy comes upon us because it feels good. Please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Once again, talking about the principle of tithing. So let each one give as the purpose is in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, this is how we should feel when we are giving, especially during offerings and such. But see, we also should feel that way with brethren who are in need. So please turn back to Old Testament, to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. If there is among you a poor man of your brethren, within any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart, nor shut your hand from your poor brother. But you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. You know, God does the same thing to us. So why can't we do the same thing to our brethren? It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. We also give ourselves to the power of prayer for one another when one of us suffers. And there has been quite a few prayers to be given here at the feast, as in every feast. Trials that we go through, amazing trials we never would have thought would have happened. Some trials that seem a little amusing at times because they're just, there's an example I could give, but I didn't ask for permission from Betty and Joan, unless they want me to tell it. But anyway, you can talk to them about it. It's pretty amusing. But it's still, the trials that we go through, serious or not, or not as serious, but, there is a reason for it. I mean, think about it that way. There could be reason for the things that we go through. Well, there is always a reason. God doesn't know about him, obviously. He lets things happen for a reason. Well, let's turn over to Acts chapter 6, verse 4. Acts chapter 6, verse 4. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministry of the word. And for another scripture that ties in, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 7, 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So again, the power of prayer goes a long way, especially when it's in numbers, when we all pray together. And not only when we pray, but we should also always give thanks, for that is the will of God. And we can read about that in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. So if we live our lives based on the principle of give, well, what do you think is going to happen? Well, we will be rewarded, as God does promise in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And also in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9, he who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. And also, let's turn back to Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 27-28. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so, do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. So obviously, once again, referring to a tithing principle, if you have it and you don't give it, then what good is that going to do? Clearly you're missing the picture, because it's obvious that money and riches are more important than the picture that God is trying to show us. If you want to turn to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So every time we give, think about that way. We're giving something. Don't expect something in return. But you kind of think that way, because here God is saying that if you are giving, you will get in return. And oftentimes you will actually receive a lot more in return than you have ever imagined. So what is so important about giving? Well, we've already heard that. But there is yet another scripture which can back that up in Matthew chapter 10, verse 38. Christ saying here in Matthew chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Verse 42, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. So there is a reward that is given to us, a bigger reward that we are trying to accomplish. And for the seventh word, which of course I was pretty much tying this in with the rest of them, is the word bless. By dedicating our lives to God, which also includes the first six words which tie in with the word dedication, there is no doubt that God will bless us for it. Now the Bible proves that God has blessed others like Abraham. For example, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 14. Let's read that real quick here. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 14, he said, surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. Now all Abraham had to do here was obey. But notice what a difference this one man had made for a lot of people. Now, obviously, he did multiply as God had promised. And then there was a big responsibility that Abraham had for mankind. And he just simply had to obey. I mean, it doesn't sound very simple, but that shows right there a promise. Not just for Abraham, but put ourselves in that situation when that time comes, when we're going to have a lot of responsibility, when there's going to be a lot of people, you know, well, I mean, we're definitely going to be thanked for it as well. And having God in our lives, what a huge difference we're going to make to mankind. because we keep God's law, there is one more thing that we have to have. Well, there's many things, but the one thing is also fear in the Lord. And I like to read that in Psalms chapter 128. In Psalms chapter 128, verse 1 through 6, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, for your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good work, or the good of Jerusalem, all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. But notice also in that last sentence there, and in the end of verse 6, how else God does bless us. Where we read, peace be upon Israel. Now, when he blesses us, he also blesses us with peace. And since we are in Psalms, let's turn back to chapter 29, verse 11. Where we read, the Lord will give strength to his people, and the Lord will bless his people with peace. Now, God has made a promise to us. Because we are so dedicated to keep the feast, he tells us exactly that in writing, scripture that we have already gone to, but this is a theme of the feast, so let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 16, where we can read it one more time, and I'm sure we'll be reading it again. In Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 15, 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God, in the place which the Lord chooses. Because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you shall surely rejoice. And this is why we are so blessed. It is not just limited by only coming to the feast, but also having the principle of give in our hearts. Let's turn back to chapter 15. In verse 10 of Deuteronomy, chapter 15, verse 10, you shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him. Because for this thing, the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. So we can clearly see how dedicated how being dedicated to God is very important in our lives, especially in this world today, since we have the front of the line access, VIP access, to everlasting life. Let us never forget, and let us congratulate ourselves and thank God for being here, proving to God that we are truly dedicated.